Hi, welcome to 10,000 Posts. This is bonus content. This is our first Patreon episode. I didn't think that we'd ever get to this point, but as intrepid listeners will know, we're in debt because we bought an island that needed a lot of work done, let's just say. There's a lot of problems with the irrigation system. Furniture is still really damp. For some reason, like, there are lots of rat infestations. So we need a lot of money to make the island like hospitable a bit again so that we can host Fire Festival too. That's why we are asking you to subscribe to the pod.
There's a weird dome on the island and we can't figure out if it's too Islamic or not Islamic enough. All we know is that Jay Epstein Consulting had it built.
Yeah, but you know what the worst thing about it was? It was like, it's not even in the right direction. It's not pointing towards Mecca. It's like in the opposite direction.
It turns out that our life-size replica of Eton is going to take a lot of money to maintain. Turns out.
Yeah. So thank you for subscribing and putting a small amount into the kitty. We really appreciate that. And we promise that if you go to the highest tier, you can come to the special party that's happening on the island once lockdown restrictions have lifted. My name is Hussein. As always, my co-host Phoebe on the show today.
Hi, how's it going? Thank you very much for your cash.
And we have Nate. Nate's on the show. A lot of people wanted to do this episode because of certain escapades that Nate, who has gained this reputation as like a sage poster, like a poster that kind of like who's like ProRes is so, who has such skill that he sort of like levitates over us. And really, like, what I really wanted to ask you is, like, you know, whether you could give us advice on how to make our posts better.
Well, sure. I mean, I feel a little bit nervous when I get praised like that, because that just hastens my inevitable cancellation and fall from society. But I think really, if I had any one big posting tip, it's that, I don't know, there's just a point at which you have to recognize when someone is just not asking you a question in good faith. And the best thing you can do, if there's not an obvious entry point based on something dumb that they've said or their style of writing or anything along those lines, is just look for the absolute dumbest thing you can say, because they'll get mad. And once they get mad, it becomes even more entertaining. A little bit of name spoonerizing. We're talking a little making fun of the handle. We're talking of, you know, maybe asking a question about the profile pic that's very awkward and you wonder why they chose that as the representative image of themselves, you know, stuff like that. But I mean, All in all, it really just comes to, knowing whether or not it's funny enough to share and if people are going to want to join in. I don't know. I mean, I've been doing it. So, I mean, I have a weird backstory in the sense that, you know, I was on Twitter years ago in 2009. I thought it was boring. I didn't really know how to use it. And then I was a columnist, believe it or not, for McSweeney's. But it wasn't like a permanent role. It was like a 1-year thing where they do a contest every year, or they used to. And if you win, then you get to be a columnist for them. Like, they pick like 5 people or 6 people each year. And I got picked. So I wrote a column about my experiences as an army officer in Afghanistan, you know, in 2009, 2010. So I wrote this column for them, and that's why my handle is what it is, because that was my column title. And basically McSweeney's was like, well, look, if you sign up on Twitter, we think it's a great place for writers to share their work. Our account has 500,000 followers, which, I mean, in 2010 was a huge amount. If you sign up, then when you publish your stuff, we will we'll share it on our account and we'll link to you and you can build an audience that way. So that's what I did. And I always was like, you know, I'd been a poster before. I'd posted on, the Something Awful forum starting when I was like 16, 17. And I'd been a poster basically forever. But I kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to put those days behind. I'm just going to be like a serious authorial type. I tried that. I was a low volume tweeter and I was very like serious. I didn't really do a lot of jokes, anything like that. You know, trying to be like serious, important writer. Imagine full stops between each of those words and they're all, you know, the first letter is a capital letter. And then in 2015, Hussein, do you know Kurt Schlichter?
Yes. Yeah. The name like rings a bell. I'm seeing some blurs right now. Why don't you like tell us what happened?
So Kurt Schlichter was an army officer and is a right wing talk radio host in Southern California. He's like a lawyer who does basically casework that's in favor of businesses fucking over their clients and just like your general asshole. You know, he always brags about his hot wife and like makes fun of you about how like, you know, you're going to make him a coffee at Starbucks because you're never going to have a real job. And he was a full colonel in the U.S. Army. But what he doesn't tell you is that when he posts his photos in uniform, the combat patch on his shoulder, which is on his right shoulder, which is like the insignia of the unit you went to a combat zone with, is a unit that hasn't existed since 1992 because he was active duty in the early 90s and deployed to Saudi Arabia during Desert Storm. He didn't actually go into Kuwait and then he never deployed again. So he was a colonel in the California National Guard, but he managed to never deploy even though the war had been going on. He retired from the military in like 2014. So 13 years of war, he was a field grade army officer in like a combat unit and managed to never deploy. And like he relied on people not knowing this or just like the weird kind of troop worshiping fealty, which is relevant to this episode for later topics. And when the Bataclan attack happened, he was going on about like loading his magazines for the coming race war when the Islamic hordes take over to try to end the American way or whatever. And I was just like, I finally just lost it and I just started dunking on him. And it was just like, Kurt, like you told your badass war story about how your canteens froze in Saudi Arabia and someone dug up the battle log from back then. It never got below freezing the entire time you were there. And just endlessly made fun of him. And like, I realized that if you are nice, then you'll just get dunked on by these people. You'll just get bullied by these people. And like their lame attempts at attacking you, like it'll wear you down because it's endless. But if you're funny and you can make fun of them in a way that's like is true, but also is mean, like it does. I mean, does it accomplish anything? Maybe not, but it certainly is cathartic. And they kind of spin their wheels trying to reply because, you know, like what can all they can do is make excuses. But like, if you've actually landed a hit, like everyone knows it. And I realized, like, the response I got, I was just like, wow, maybe I can unsheath the katana after 10 years of being polite and trying to be authorial online. Now, if I ever do publish a book, this might come back to haunt me. Like, I might get canceled, you know, like when all the right wing ooh-oohs start complaining about me being mean. But that's the story. And now I don't know, I've managed to parlay that into some podcasts. But is that a good stand-in for achieving your actual goals and having a normal, balanced life? No, not at all. I wish I posted less, actually. But yeah.